list. We can do so at this time. So anyone on my right-hand side, prayer requests, Miss Carol? Psalm 122. We did have some papers with our lesson again as we're working through this series of lessons on prayer. If you need one, anybody need one of those? I can get somebody to get one. Anybody need one? All right. Everybody's got one? Awesome. I do ask, I was just praying with you just now, and remembered I have a friend over in Maryland, works at a Christian school, and his father-in-law just found out he has very, very bad cancer, and he called me today, just really broken, asked us to be in prayer. So if you remember, his name's Paul. Pray for Paul, if you would, and just the Lord to work there, please. I really appreciate that, too. So in Psalm 122, we've been looking at the series of lessons. I think they've been great lessons just to help in our prayer life. And this one may seem a little odd, but it is a biblical command, and you're going to see it here. In Psalm 122, let's read the whole psalm. It says there in verse number 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I hope you said that tonight. I'll read the verse again. Then you can amen. It makes you feel better, right? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. All right, good. I see. That's good. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, and to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be with thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Again, in verse number 6, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We have a biblical command here, and to pray, again, for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, this is a series of psalms. You can see it probably in your Bible. It says a song of degrees. It's a series of songs. The word degrees means step. But they would sing these psalms, if you will, as they were approaching there at Jerusalem to go and to make the sacrifices and to worship. Jerusalem, of course, is the spiritual home of God's chosen people. And so we have here in the middle of this chapter, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So, I don't know about you, but many times in my prayer life, I've been guilty of not praying for Israel. Paul, in the New Testament, prayed for the salvation of Israel. We'll close the lesson tonight with that thought too, but we ought to be praying that they be saved. Their hearts are very blinded towards spiritual truth. But Jews can be saved. And we've had quite a few with us. Brother Skirloff is with us, a Jew that has been saved and is trying to reach other Jews. Again, we should be praying for that. Now look at the lesson, and again, we'll go through this, and I don't think it will be a long lesson, but a very important lesson. Number one, we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, or to pray for the peace of Jerusalem is to pray for a city that has known little peace. Ironically, the name Jerusalem means the city of peace. Yet, the city of Jerusalem really has not ever known any lasting peace. You see, under B, number one, the Temple Mount, or Mount Moriah, has been one of the most fought-over pieces of real estate on the earth. Now, if you want to go back real quick to Genesis chapter number 22, and we'll look at a few verses. Again, I won't look at every reference in this lesson, but I encourage you to study these things and to go back and to look over them and maybe to look at a few of these verses that we do not look at tonight. But in Genesis chapter 22, this is when Abraham was making his sacrifice there, and he took Isaac upon the mount. In Genesis chapter 22, and in verse number 13, it says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in his stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. It is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now, we, most people, believe that this was the location where Israel would be, the Temple Mount, and by the phrase Jehovah Jireh, again, the Hebrew pronunciation of Jerusalem is Yerushalem, which the Yeru is, they think, is from Jireh, again, and then Shalem, which means, of course, we know as peace. They would say that today. And the fact is this, that this small piece of property is still to this day thought over constantly. The city is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 14 and verse number 18. It was known as the city of Salem. It was a Canaanite city when Joshua came through in Joshua chapter 10. It was finally captured by David in the year 1048 B.C. Now, we're at number 4 in its long history. Jerusalem has experienced a lot of things. It has had been conquest and recaptured some 44 times throughout its history. It has been conquered, it has been reconquered and taken 44 times. It has had two complete destructions. The Babylonians came through and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. Then, of course, Nehemiah and Ezra went back and rebuilt it. And then Titus, the Roman emperor, had Jerusalem destroyed, and it was destroyed by the Romans. It's had 23 sieges. It is still to this day under continual terrorist attack. It is still divided. The city of Jerusalem is separated in different quarters and is still being disputed over. I remember when we were there, we went up on the Temple Mount, and there, of course, the Muslims have that the dome, that golden dome, Dome of the Rock there. And I'll never forget it because I was a kid and I enjoyed the moment. And you'll understand what I'm about to say. We were walking in, and my parents were in front of me, and they were holding hands, which apparently you're not allowed to have any public shows of affection in these Muslim territories. And these two guys came over with guns and pointed them at my parents and made them quit holding hands. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever to watch that, right? It was like my parents just got in trouble for holding hands, right? I'll never forget it. And my dad, he loved telling that story. But the fact is, you know, it's still under Muslim control, that portion of Jerusalem. Then there's an old Jerusalem. There's a Christian section of Jerusalem, which I use the word Christian very loosely on that. But the fact is this, it is still being fought over. I remember when we were there that you could hear the sound of the jets flying over, breaking the sound barrier constantly. You had security everywhere, and you were being watched. It's still a hotbed, and it will continue to be so. For a minimum of 7 years, it's going to be a hothead. It's going to be a place where people are fighting over it constantly. But number 5, you see, Jerusalem has at various times been under the dominion, has been under the control of all these different people. The Babylonians had it 586 BC, the Persians 538, the Greeks 330 BC, the Hasmonean dynasty 141, Herod, and then the Romans, of course, had control, and that, of course, during the time of Christ, the Byzantine Empire, 324, the Muslims in 638 had it for quite a while. Of course, there were periods of time during the Crusades during that time, whenever they were placed back under Roman control, or the Holy Roman Empire, I should say. Then the Ottoman Empire, 1516 to 1917. Which we know as Turkey in that area. And then, of course, the British had control up until 1948 when, again, Israel became a nation again, which, by the way, is a big deal because God said it would. And so Israel became a nation again in 1948. Even since then, Israel's not at peace. Since they became a nation again in 1948, They had the war against the Arab states, Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, Iraq, Transjordan, the Suez-Sinai War, 1956, the Six-Day War, 1967, the Yom Kippur War, 1973, then, of course, dealing with the Palestinians, and really still going on. The course of violent history was prophesied by the Lord. Turn over to Luke chapter 21. I know I said a lot of what some people refer to as boring history, but history's not boring. I love history, so. Right, all my students? We love history, right? Right. Thank you, Alex. Good, right? Daniel, William Tecumseh Sherman wasn't as bad as they all say, right? That's right, right? We're covering some territories. We're not even sure who shot Abraham Lincoln, are we? Yeah, all right. Never mind. We'll talk about that later. But the again, Luke chapter 21 and verse number 24 says this. We have fun. Luke 21:24. Jesus said, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." So the Lord prophesies that Israel is and Jerusalem will be trodden underfoot until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, what was he speaking of? Well, the time of the Gentiles began whenever King Zedekiah, or the last king, was removed in Jeremiah chapter number 39. Zedekiah was one of the last son of David to sit upon the throne until, of course, the Lord Jesus does. But that began the time of Gentiles. We are still living in what's biblically the time of the Gentiles. We're still living in that time. You say, well, when will that time of the Gentiles end? When the Lord Jesus Christ sits upon the throne in Israel. Now, until then, we're still living under the time of the Gentiles. And according to this text here, Jerusalem will be continually fought over and trodden underfoot until the end of the time of the Gentiles. But praise the Lord, that day will come when Jesus will rule and reign. And we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. Number two, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem is to pray for a city that is special to God. It's a city that's had known little peace. And then number two, it is a city to pray for a city that is special to God. Letter A, the Lord considers Jerusalem to be the center of the world. Look over in Ezekiel chapter number 5. Ezekiel chapter 5. You know, there's lots of people that would love to argue this, but the fact is the Bible is going to show us something here in Ezekiel chapter number 5 and verse number 5. It says this, "Thus saith the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her." The Lord considers Jerusalem here in the center of the world. In Zechariah chapter 2 and verse number 8, we see the Lord considers Jerusalem to be the apple of his eye. If you want to turn to the right, if you go to Matthew, just hang a quick left and you'll find it. But Zechariah chapter number 2 and in verse number 8, it's considered the apple of his eye. In Zechariah 2 and verse number 8, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye." So the Lord considers Jerusalem to be the center of the world. The Lord considers Jerusalem to be the apple of his eye. There are some groups of Christians out there, even amongst Baptists, that believe that God is done with Israel. And they're wrong. God is not done with Israel. They would preach that the church has replaced Israel, and that's not true. God is still going to do a work in Jerusalem. He will rule and reign from Jerusalem. We are not the replacement of Israel. We are just living in the times of the Gentiles, and I'm thankful that God's using us as Gentiles and through his churches. But the fact is this, Jerusalem is still the apple of his eye. The fact is this, Jerusalem is still important to the Lord and will be. And we won't turn there, but Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 13, Jesus refers to Jerusalem as my city. If you want to turn back, though, to 2 Chronicles chapter number 6, you'll see it is a place where God has put his name. 2 Chronicles chapter number 6, and in verse number 5. 2 Chronicles 6, verse number 5 and 6, says this, "Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel, but I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there. And I've chosen David to be over my people Israel." So it's a place where the Lord has put his name. But it is also, one more thing, and these are important, so I'm taking a time here, Luke chapter number 24. In Luke chapter number 24, letter D, Jerusalem, the Lord designated Jerusalem as the starting point for world evangelism. In Luke chapter number 24 and in verse number 47, Luke 24 and verse number 47, the Lord considered Jerusalem to be the center of the world. The Lord considered Jerusalem to be the apple of his eye. It is my city, he said. It is the place the Lord has put his name. And the Lord designated Jerusalem as a starting point for world evangelism. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 47, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So it's ground zero for the preaching of the gospel. The Lord, again, why we go through these things, you know, probably you didn't learn anything new tonight, but just to remind us why we ought to pray for Israel. Israel's important to God. And we are told again in Psalm to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Number three, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem is to pray for our own peace and tranquility. Back in our text in Psalm 122, I'll just read the verse to you. "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they shall prosper that love thee." Again, in a lot of ways, is referring to that promise made to Abraham in Genesis chapter number 12, that there's a blessing upon those who bless God's people. There's a curse upon those who curse God's people. This is ultimately, again, when we are praying, why are we praying for our own peace? Because ultimately we are praying for a promise of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, I'll get to the end of the message, spoiler alert, all right, ready? The only time Israel's ever going to have that peace that we're to pray for is when Jesus rules and reigns from there at Jerusalem. So when we pray for the peace at Jerusalem, we are praying for the Lord to return. We are praying for that peace that only he can give. And so to pray for peace at Jerusalem is to pray for our own peace and our own tranquility. Letter B, our nation's present and future prosperity is linked directly to its treatment of the Jews. Again, Matthew chapter number 25. Brother Elijah, I saw you come in. Will you read Joel chapter 3, verse number 2? Elijah can read that. Matthew chapter 25. I'm not going to read all these verses, but starting in verse number 31, it says in Matthew chapter 25, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you in the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, ye clothed me, and I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." How we treat Israel is important. In Joel chapter 3 and verse number 2, Brother Elijah. God will plead for his people here in this passage, his brethren. You know, it's important. Again, we ought to be praying for this. The policy of America towards Israel it should be important to us. We should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We should pray for our leaders. We'll talk about it in just a minute. Number four, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem is to pray for Jesus to come again. I've already said it, but look at it. Jesus is the peace of Jerusalem. There will be no peace in Jerusalem. And we saw it there in Luke. As long as the time of the Gentiles is going on, there will be no peace in Jerusalem. And, you know, all these summits that they're having, all these peace treaties that they're trying to sign, they're not going to work. I can just tell you this. There will be no lasting peace until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. He is the Prince of Peace. He brings peace with God, and He gives the peace of God. This peace is only possible through His cross. There can be no peace on earth until Jesus rules and reigns. Man is incapable of producing world peace. They've been trying now for thousands of years and have failed, and will continue to fail. He is also incapable of solving the present-day Israeli-Palestinian conflict. I'm thankful for those who have good intentions, but the fact is this: no one's going to bring peace to that area until the Lord Jesus comes. The coming Antichrist apparently will do so. Now, look over real quick in Daniel, just so you can see this. In Daniel chapter number 6, Daniel chapter number 9, I'll read the verse and I'll talk about it. Revelation 6:2. Koi, do you care to read that for me? Revelation 6:2. Daniel chapter 9 and in verse number 27 says this: "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Brother Coy, we get to read Revelation 6:2 real quick. All right, so what these verses are referring to, and we talked about it when we studied this prophecy, is the fact that this, when the tribulation begins, when the tribulation period begins, which could begin very soon, the next event that needs to happen, of course, is the Lord's going to call His saints out of here, which could be tonight, amen, and we could be called out, and thus would begin the time of Jacob's trouble. In other words, again, God is working through His churches, but obviously when the saints of God are taken out of here, the Holy Spirit, that restraint will be removed. God's spotlight, if you will go back upon His people Israel. And unfortunately, for the first part of that, it will not be a pleasant, well, all of it really, a pleasant time. What will happen is this, again, I don't want to take a long time, but the world will be in chaos. Such chaos, and again, the world will turn against Israel, a majority of it. They'll be threatened from the Arabs. They'll be threatened from the north. They'll be threatened from the east, China. My personal thought there. But they'll be threatened. It is then in the midst of all this that the Antichrist will step forward. The Antichrist will offer this peace, and the whole world will go with it. And at the beginning of the tribulation period, Jerusalem will have this seeming peace for the first time in a long time. The sacrificial system will start up again. The temple will be rebuilt. But at the halfway point of this week, 7-year period, at the halfway point, the Antichrist turns against Israel. The Bible teaches that 2/3 of Israel will be slain during that second 3.5 years. That's when those two prophets will be killed in the streets of Jerusalem and lie there dead for 3 days, but then will rise again. All these things are going to happen during this time. The Antichrist is going to apparently give peace, but it will be for 3.5 years. And then he's going to turn against Israel. And we also know from other events that are going on that in heaven at that time, that the devil truly attacks the gates of heaven. Of course, he doesn't get very far. Isn't the book of Revelation intriguing, isn't it? And he is cast out forever. And in his fury, he turns his wrath against God's people, Israel. All that's going to take place. And so that's, again, if you're more interested in that, be glad to go over stuff with you later. But the coming Antichrist will apparently bring peace. But number two, his peace will be short-lived. Again, the halfway point of that time, he will turn against Israel. Letter D, once more Jerusalem shall be at the center of global conflict. I'm not going to take time to read all these passages of scriptures, but again, the whole world's going to turn, the majority of it, against Israel. The second coming of Christ will deliver Jerusalem and Israel there in Zechariah and also in Revelation. That's when the world's armies are going to gather there in the valley of Jehoshaphat. And they're going to gather together there for this war, the war to end all wars, right? Which it is. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come at that point, and they can point every gun they want to, every weapon they may have. He ends the war with his words. He speaks, and the war's over. With the power of his word, he defeats all of the enemy. And it is then that he will rule and reign from the throne of Israel there, the entire world, of course, for 1,000 years, the Bible teaches, as he establishes a kingdom of peace and righteousness on this earth. Now, again, I didn't want to go off on a big rabbit trail there, but my point is this: we're to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. That peace will only come when the Lord Jesus comes. But that is something we, as Christians, should pray for God's people when it comes to Israel. You see the conclusion here, and I'm all done. Here are some definite scriptural prayer points when praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Letter A, pray for the salvation of the Jews. Only Jesus Christ can bring them true peace. When we pray for Israel, we ought to pray for their salvation. There are good missionaries that are spreading the gospel. Not enough, but there's some over there. And there are other Jews that have been saved, that are sharing the truth. We need to pray for the salvation of the Jews. Letter B, pray for Christians of Jerusalem and Israel, both Arab and Jew, that they may truly love one another and be engaged in witnessing the Christ and their countrymen. Pray for those who have been saved already in Israel. Pray that they would be a good witness. Letter C, pray for the protection of Jerusalem. Again, that the deadly plans of her enemies may be confounded. Don't be deceived. Iran would love nothing more than to see Israel wiped off the map. Those Arab states would love to see Israel removed. They do not want to recognize them. They get upset when we recognize them in other countries. Russia. Russia can talk a good game, but according to the Word of God, they will one day lead the attack upon Israel. They are not Israel's friend. So pray for the protection of Jerusalem. That's why I think it's important that our nation always does its best to be a friend to Jerusalem. Letter D, pray for the leaders of Israel, that they may govern righteously and that they may promote religious freedom. That includes their president and their prime minister and their leaders and generals. Pray for them. There's a couple names listed there. They got to pray for their wisdom. Pray for their leadership. Letter E, pray for America and its leaders, that our nation will continue to bless Israel with friendship, support, and protection. I'm thankful that it seems like we have a president that is, befriending Israel. I'm thankful for that, and I pray that we continue. Letter F, pray for Jesus to come, because that's the only peace that will ever last. Now, I know it's a different lesson, but the fact is this: we are commanded to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So I hope that you see why, hope that you see that it's important, and I hope that maybe in your prayer life you'll be and join me in adding Jerusalem and Israel to our prayers. Again, I'm thankful. I am not a Jew. God did not tell us to become a Jew. We are Gentiles. We are saved by the grace of God. We have been set free from all that law. Yet, I as a believer ought to pray for Israel. Every one of us should pray for Israel. And I hope that you'll bring that into your prayer life. Let's bow our heads.